Hello, everyone. Welcome to the When It Worked podcast. Here with your host, Julian Leahy. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic G. Rana Sinha from the UK. From London? Whereabouts in the UK?
I'm not actually from the UK, but it was a good guess. I've thrown you a curveball here, Julian, because I actually live in northeastern France on the French-German border. But as you can probably tell,
yes.
I'm not a French native.
No.
This is what I'm telling you.
Yes, well, when you said SFA as a bit of slang, I knew you must come from the UK because we say that here as well.
Yeah, well, it's one of the many exports we've given you.
One of the great things is the slang we got. All right, so what we're going to do, G, is we're going to play a game of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Let's get the music up and. Can you hear that, G, the music? No, I didn't think so. All right. So you have three lifelines, G, as always, and it's very important if you don't know to ask for a lifeline. You can poll the audience, have a 50-50 split, or you can have a 30-second window to Google it on your phone. Are you ready, G?
I am ready.
All right. In Disney's Cinderella, what phrase enables the fairy godmother to turn a pumpkin into a carriage? This is difficult. Abracadabra.
I'm glad you said that because, I thought it would be a lot easier.
Yeah, the first question is usually a cakewalk. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, Open Sesame, or Hey Presto? Abracadabra, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, Open Sesame, or Hey Presto? What did the fairy godmother say in Cinderella to turn a pumpkin into a carriage? Do you have any idea? If you were to guess without using a lifeline, what would you guess, G?
Well, I'd say it wouldn't be Open Sesame because that was Aladdin.
Aladdin, okay. Right? Let's rule that out.
So that's gone. Hey Presto sounds a little bit boring.
Right? It's like a generic and, magician.
It's one of those boring ones. Holiday Cat magicians, right? Those guys. So I don't think it's that. Abracadabra, possible. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. It is a Disney thing, but I thought it was Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Angela Lansbury. I thought it was that movie.
Okay.
But you know my Disney knowledge isn't all that since my son is now teenage years, so I don't spend hours and hours watching reruns again and again and again. But out of the two, since Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo is in the Disney direction, I will plump for option B.
Tell you what, let's lock it in. Gee, I had a feeling you were barking up the correct tree. Well done. That was a difficult question, and you have saved all your lifelines, which is good. Oh, God, these are difficult. By definition, a defenestrated object has been what? Burned, frozen, exploded, or thrown out a window?
Okay.
Usually you hear this term as died by defenestration. And for some reason I do know this one because I googled a case of a missing spy during the... What was that era where they gave everybody like LSD just without telling them and tested them? It was a CIA operative. Anyway, they did that to one guy and he ended up dying by defenestration, which was highly suspicious.
Okay, well that's an interesting clue there, Julian. I don't know if so if he died like that, then clearly he wasn't thrown out of a window, which is a popular way of ending the lives of people in certain areas of the world, which we will not go into any further detail.
G?
Explode.
I implore you, use a lifeline.
Okay. I tell you what, Julian, maybe I'll use a lifeline. What do you think?
I think that sounds like a good idea. So if you were to narrow it down to two, what would you pick?
Based upon what you've said, maybe thrown out of the window and burned.
Let's do the 50-50 split and see if that helps us. I might have given a tell there by cutting you off the moment you named one of the answers. So I think you've picked up on it, G. Shall we lock it in?
I think you better lock in. I think you better lock in option D. Yes.
Lock in, all right.
Thrown out of the window.
That's the last nudge I give you. Well done. You have used one lifeline, unfortunately, but it was worth it. You needed to. A musician.
It's early days.
We, long way to go. I've seen people wipe out every lifeline and go all the way. It's very rare, but it can happen.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
A musician can play notes on which of these instruments while inhaling? Flute, trumpet, trombone, or harmonica?
Oh, easy one. I'm surprised the didgeridoo wasn't on there, actually.
Ah, but, true.
Yeah. Well, mind you, it's not really inhaling, are you? You're doing this thing with the cheeks.
Yes,
right?
Inhaling. You've got some advanced knowledge of didgeridoo there, G.
Well, you know, I used to play with my didgeridoo along for many hours in the evening.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're more Australian than I am.
growing up as an only child, what can I say? Sorry, to keep it clean, I think your answer is option D again. Throwing me a curveball by going with D twice in the same consecutively.
Yes, it's.
So I would say D, harmonica.
Let's have a look. Harmonica is correct. Well done, G. No lifelines needed. Great job. Good logical thought processing. Formed in 1998. I had this question recently. Formed in 1998, 30 Seconds to Mars is a Los Angeles-based rock band led by which weird and disturbed actor? You can tell I wrote this one. Pete Davidson, Jared Leto, Machine Gun Kelly, or Justin Bieber?
Wow. Okay. Haven't got a Scooby, to be honest here. Weird and disturbed actor doesn't really help.
No. Well,
98 don't help.
Yeah. If you think about it, yeah, 98 helps. Yep.
So 98 would, based upon my guess in terms of ages, 98 would suggest that Pete Davidson and Justin Bieber are too young to form a band in 1998.
They would have been children, surely.
They would have been mere babes. Yes. It would be, more like 30 seconds to PP rather than 30 seconds to Mars.
Yes,
you would
that's
think.
What they were focused on.
So it's. My Machine Gun Kelly's changed his name. Since he's had his tattoos, he's gone a bit even more weird than before, right?
Yes. He definitely fits the weird bill.
Yes.
Is he an actor?
In Spain. Yeah, good point. I would suggest he can probably act, but I wouldn't call him an actor in the same way that Jared Leto was. So in which case, process of elimination again, I will plump for option B, Big Bad Jared.
Let's lock in Jared Leto. That's correct. Well done, G. And as I said, that question shows my bias against Jared Leto after watching him in one of those kids movie or Batman movies. What was the one where he played the Joker? And I thought, this guy's a moron. That's what I thought, but I shouldn't be so harsh. All right, continuing on.
Mm-hmm.
ILM, the special effects company founded by George Lucas, stands for Industrial Light and what? Movies, magic, Marvel, or magnificence? Have you heard of this company?
I know them very well.
Oh, Jim. You do?
Very well, yeah. I know ILM pretty well, and just down the road, well, figuratively speaking, in that part of the world, just down the road is Pixar.
Ah, yes. Did they buy ILM?
ILM. George Lucas actually founded Pixar and sold it to Steve Jobs,
right?
Because it wasn't making any money.
Yes, I remember that.
And even once Steve Jobs bought it, it still didn't make any money for about 8 or 10 years.
Until Toy Story 1, and
it was Steve Jobs' personal money. It wasn't anything to do with Apple or Next's money. And Steve Jobs said to Ed Catmull, who was in charge of Pixar at the time, I don't want to talk about Pixar, we should be talking about ILM, but it's a nice story. He said, look, you guys carry on doing what you're doing. I do believe in you, and I know you're going to come up with something at the end. And that something at the end was Toy Story, as you correctly deduce. But the answer to the question, ILM stands for Industrial Light and Magic.
Locking in B, magic. G is on fire. He's at the $1,000 safe zone. One lifeline used, two lifelines in hand. I think G could go all the way. Let's take a look at the next question. Fittingly, the entrance to Colorado's State Capitol building features the phrase, 1 mile above what? The gold, sea level, the equator, the dirt. Colorado's State Capitol building has the phrase, 1 mile above the gold, sea level, equator, the dirt.
Never been to Colorado. 1 mile above. Good question.
You got two lifelines in hand, G, if you're not sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to use one of them.
Okay. Shall we?
Nothing stands out.
Let's poll the audience.
Poll the audience. Go for it.
Let's see what they come up with whilst Googling on their phones and cheating.
They wouldn't dare, would they?
Okay, well, a clear favourite is B, sea level, which is 53%. The rest of them, 19% for A, C is 13%, and D is 15%. The sea level is 53%, which, if you think about it, Colorado is at elevation. So, makes sense. Are you going to go with that one?
Let's go with that. Mind you, that makes it three B's in a row, doesn't it?
Oh, you're looking for patterns. That's going to lead you astray, G. I'm not smart enough to mix them up like that.
You're devious like that, are you? Okay. Yeah.
That's correct. Okay. Well done, G. We've got one lifeline left. It's going to be tough.
Well, thank you. Thank you, audience. Thank you, audience, because I wouldn't have got that. No way.
They come in handy. A sacred prayer in the Roman Catholic faith, Ave Maria, gets its name from a Latin phrase meaning what? Hail Mary, let it be, praise the Lord, or praise the Lord, as I spell it, peace be with you. Which is the correct interpretation of Ave Maria?
I think it's Ave Maria, isn't it?
Ave, yes, I would say. Yeah, I would definitely follow whatever you said it was, because I have no idea how to speak Latin.
I speak it like a native.
You do, do you? You speak it like a Latin person, which doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Exactly, it's dead language.
Yeah.
Since the only one that possibly makes sense is Hail Mary, I will go with option A.
Locking in Hail Mary without a lifeline. G's feeling brave. And he was spot on. Well done. G is doing very well. A state that celebrated its cuarto centenario in 1998, New Mexico, was founded in what year? 1610, 1598, 1609, 1599. There's a bit of a clue there.
Okay, Quarto Centenario means 400 years, so I would say that the answer would be 400 years back from 1998, which would make it 1598.
Jesus, smart cookie. Let's take a look. Well done, G, 8,000. Doing very well. With your logic and a bit of good luck, you might go all the way.
I think I'm getting a bit of vertigo, Julian.
Yeah, it does happen once you get up there.
Yeah.
A sort of prequel to Sex and the City, The Carrie Diaries, is a 2010 novel by what author? J.K. Rowling, Nicholas Sparks, Jane Austen, or Candace Bushnell? Sex and the City, the book that came before the TV show. Who was it? J.K. Rowling, Nicholas Sparks, Jane Austen, or Candace Bushnell? The more I look at this question, I think this is easy.
I would tend to agree with you, to be honest. Clearly, it can't be Jane Austen because she was a little bit smelly by the time of 2010.
What did Jane Austen write? Was it Great Expectations? No, no.
Pride and Prejudice.
That's the one. Pride and Prejudice. One of those period pieces that's been made into several movies,
yes.
I think.
Mm. Yes, so absolutely.
She was not
yes.
writing about Sex in the City.
I don't think she even knew what sex was, to be honest, Julian. I think it hadn't been invented at her time,
that's
to be honest.
Right, yes. They were not involved in any of that shenanigans.
That's right.
What would you go with? We know it's not J.K. Rowling, surely.
We know it's not J.K. We know it's not Nicholas Sparks. It's clearly Candace.
Candace Bushnell.
Candy to her friends.
Candy to her friends. Well done. Right. Gee, 16,000. Michael Jackson. Have a song. 1982 Thriller album. What do the initials PYT stand for? Pretty Young Thing. Paid Young and Talking. Pull Yourself Together. Prove Yourself True. Paid Young and Talking came later on with the court cases, I think.
Yeah, quite possible.
Or Paid Young and Not Talking.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. Nah. I think we need to worry about that. Pretty sure he did it.
I don't. You said that. I didn't say that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I don't think they're going to sue me at this stage.
Who knows? I remember the Thriller album vividly. I remember buying it on vinyl.
Oh, you bought the album?
I bought the album. I'm old enough to have bought the album in 1982.
Yeah, you could have said I bought it at a thrift shop to not show your age.
No,
but we don't need to do that.
So the answer is A, Pretty Young Thing.
Pretty Young Thing. G is on fire at the $32,000 mark. This is where things get real.
I'm hyperventilating now, Jimmy. I don't know if I can carry on.
This is the biggest moment of your life, G.
Yeah, at least, yes.
Winning this game. Put it on your CV on LinkedIn. A Smithsonian exhibit features one of Celia Cruz's Batas Cubanas, which is a Cuban variety of what? Suit, dress, shoes, or overcoat? Smithsonian exhibit, Celia Cruz. Now, was Celia Cruz the one that had the... No, that was Carmen Miranda, had the fruit.
She had the fruit, yes.
Celia Cruz must have been a singer, I would imagine, maybe a dancer. Batas Cubanas is in the Smithsonian. It's a Cuban what? Have I shown all of the... Yeah, they're all out there? Okay.
They're all out there, yes. It's a very interesting one.
I could go for two here. Like, there's two possibles that I would think. What are you leaning towards, G?
It really is, yes. Nothing jumps out and bites me on the tushy, to be honest. I thought shoes was quite a funny one because I thought of the brand of shoe, flip-flop, of tong, I think you guys call it, don't you?
Thongs, yeah. Yes. I'm wearing a pair right now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Australian.
I'm wearing a thong,
dress.
But it's
you're
not
wearing
my
the other one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe it's a bit oversharing, really, since we've just met, isn't it?
No, it's good to be honest.
So my guess is going to be in. It's either going to be a dress or an overcoat, I think. Do I have any more lifelines? Or
you've
they...
got one left. This is the time when you think, do I save it or do I pull the ripcord on it?
No, such thing as saving. There is no tomorrow, as Apollo Creed said in Rocky III. There is no tomorrow. So I'll call my last lifeline, please.
You're going to call your lifeline. Okay, so you've got 30 seconds to Google it on your phone, starting from now.
Okay.
It really is ample time. I need to cut it to 15 seconds to make it a bit more interesting. Although I can see a bit of sweat forming on G's brow.
I'm not doing well here, actually.
Just Google Batas Cubanas. Time's up. I'm going to need an answer.
Okay. I would say it would be dress. B.
Locking in dress. Did you find this in your Googling?
Yes, at the very last second.
Oh, you got there.
I got there, yeah.
So maybe the 30 seconds is just right. Well done, G. You're still alive. You've got no lifelines flying by the seat of your thong. Continuing on.
I would encourage audience members to look up and have a look at this particular Batas Cubanas. Look at this dress, because it is pretty awesome looking.
It's a good dress. Big tip from G. Have a look at the Batas Cubanas.
Yes, right. Red, white, and blue. It's very patriotic if you're in that
Cuban
region. Yes.
Is that Cuban colours? Yeah, they got the star with the red, white, and blue.
That's it.
And the communist star.
Works in Oz as well.
What's that?
Works in Oz as well.
Yes, it does. Red, white, and blue. Yes, we've still got the England colours, the Great Britain colours, which is strange. Some people want to change it to green and gold. That's another story for another day.
Maybe it's another question.
Sorry.
Maybe it's one of the questions.
Maybe it could be. Yes. In 2010, an out-of-control Amish teenager led police on a wild one-mile chase involving what? Horse-drawn buggy, unicycle, railway cart, or Tesla? 2010, an out-of-control Amish teenager was on a wild police chase with what? Horse-drawn buggy, unicycle, railway cart, or Tesla? No lifelines.
Clearly it's not going to be a Tesla.
No.
In 2010. Wouldn't be much of a 1 mile chase if it was a railway cart, because you just go at the other end of the line, wouldn't you? Unicycle sounds far too modern and hip and trendy for the Amish, I would say. In which case, that leaves us with, again, a horse-drawn buggy.
Horse-drawn buggy is locked in. Well done, G. You know what, I would have talked myself out of that one, being the most common sense answer, and I probably would have picked unicycle. But you stuck to the logical answer. Well done.
Yeah, well, I'm not very logical, I think, Julian. That's the problem. I try not to overthink things, because that's when you get into all sixes and sevens, don't you? Yes.
Able to rotate 360 degrees, Sky City is a restaurant at the top of what US landmark? Mount Rushmore, the Space Needle, the Grand Canyon, or the Statue of Liberty?
Wow. Okay. So, process of elimination again. I don't see why it would be Mount Rushmore. The Grand Canyon, again, possible, but I don't think it would be in this direction. Statue of Liberty, definitely not. So, process of elimination. I would say Space Needle.
Space Needle, which is that in Ohio? Cleveland, Ohio?
I think it's in Cleveland, yes.
Let's take a look. Space Needle is correct. G is on fire. We've got two questions to go. No lifelines. I'm a believer.
I'm out there. No training wheels.
No training wheels. Let's see how we go. Curds and whey, Miss Muffet's snacks of choice, are created during what culinary process? This was in a last episode. I've got to do something about these questions. Cheese, porridge, rice pudding, or bread? Did you watch the last episode that we did, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I didn't watch the last one. I watched... It was about two or three episodes ago, I think.
Okay. Well, you might have missed this question, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I did miss this question. But then... living in northeastern France, where we have something like 800 varieties of cheese...
The former French Prime Minister... De Gaulle said it's very hard to govern a country that has 300 different types of cheese.
There you go. And he would know.
He would know, both as a cheese-eating person and a French person.
Yes, and he had pretty good-sized conch on him as well. So.
Oh, was he a bit of a chunker? Was he?
A bit of a chunker, exactly.
Didn't know that.
He had a schnoz and a half. So in that case, I would go with option A, cheese.
Cheese, locking it in. Curds and whey is made from cheese. Well done. Last question, the million-dollar question. Here we go. Causing excessive body hair growth, the medical condition hypertrichosis is colloquially known as what? Camel syndrome, gorilla syndrome, werewolf syndrome, or sheep syndrome? Hypertrichosis. When you're hairy. Very yes. Hairy. Hairy enough to be in the circus in the old days.
Absolutely. Cost you a fortune in
razors,
canteen, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, in conditioner. Two bottles in the shower? Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to keep it, that is. I'd be shaving it.
Yeah, think about unblocking the bathtub afterwards.
There's lots of things to think about. Tinder, you know, it'd be a nightmare.
You had to go there, didn't you?
I did.
All right. Right. So that one, I think it. Well, until I saw option C, I was going for gorilla. But after seeing option C, I will go with werewolf.
Werewolf syndrome for the top prize of $1 million in funny money. Let's take a look. G. Ranasinghe, he's done it. Great job. Gee, there was a rough start there. There were some tough questions, and you managed to do it. Well done, G. Let's have a round of applause for G.
That's very kind. I won't let it change me. I'll still be the same.
You can still talk to me after this big win.
I don't know, the jury's out on that, but yes,
I won't go that far.
Yeah, come on.
Well, thanks, G. And now we're going to talk to G about some of the fantastic things G's doing. Now, we were having a chat earlier about marketing bros, which you have on your bio. What are marketing bros and why do you dislike them? What are they doing wrong?
In their own mind, I don't think they're doing anything wrong. But to define a marketing bro, which isn't gender dependent, as we also mentioned, you know, before we started. A marketing bro used to be a marketing pyramid scheme seller, a multi-level marketer. Used to be probably into crypto, Web3, NFTs, is basically looking at the next shiny object that they think they can con the unwary out of. And so a marketing bro is a person that you see inevitably on Instagram or TikTok pulling gang signs while kneeling in front of a Lambo and showing you his or her bank statement about how many gazillions they made in the last 20 minutes. But it's all a house of cards, Julian. It's all bullshit.
Indeed. And I guess the problem is that what people want and what people need is different. And there is money to be made in selling people what they want, but it's really not going to get them anywhere. So how do you go about selling them what they need instead? What do they need?
I think they don't need a marketing bro, that's for damn sure. The issue is if you're a small business owner or a startup business owner, you want this stuff to be easy. And so you believe it to be easy. So someone peddling the notion that this marketing stuff is easy is what you want to hear. It's what you want to believe. And so you believe the BS only to be conned out of sometimes a not inconsiderable amount of money once you realize there's no gold at the end of the rainbow. So if you are looking for a marketing services provider, a marketing agency, or even not a whole agency, maybe you're looking for someone to help you with web design or social media or podcasting or whatever, well, you know, whatever the provider is, do your due diligence. Firstly, if you can find somebody from a recommendation of somebody you already know, that's obviously the best way, word of mouth or word of mouse, as I like to call it now, by tapping into your network, is obviously the best way, recommendations. But otherwise, if you're looking for a marketing agency, ask them a few questions. And if within the first 3 minutes, they start talking about tactics, they start talking about Facebook ads or Google ads or podcasts or videos or social media or whatever, run very fast in the opposite direction, because these guys haven't got a Scooby-Doo about what they're doing. And the only way to build a sustainable and results-driven marketing plan is to start from the business end and to understand the customer profile that you're going after, the category, the competitive landscape. And you can only get all of that stuff from research, from segmentation, from targeting, from positioning, from research, from qualitative and quantitative analyses. Boring stuff doesn't get the headlines, and marketing bro couldn't even spell quantitative analysis, let alone do it. But that's the stuff that grinds the gears, that motivates and aligns the business to generate revenue. Only once you have a clear diagnosis and discovery can you put together a strategy and then get to the tactics. And it has to be in that order. So if your marketing agency starts talking about tactics before talking about strategy, if they don't ask you a gazillion questions about your business, your turnover, your average customer value, how you're generating sales today, what your plans are, what your exit plan is. Maybe you're looking to sell out in 3 years and retire in Bali. See, I said Bali rather than Bahamas. Isn't that good? So something around the corner from you guys.
Location-specific, right? Yes, appreciate that.
Location-specific, insert tropical island here, right? We'll go to Bali, actually. Goodness. Huge amounts of spiders
Too many bogans in Bali.
Too many what?
Bogans. Australian people with heavy metal singlets and long hair and tattoos and drinking habits. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Good to know.
I wasn't going to go to Bali because I saw something that they're teeming with like spiders. Spiders are not a big deal for you guys in Oz because, you know, for you, if it's not the size of a dinner plate, then it's not even worth calling a spider, right? To be honest, I'm amazed there's anybody over the age of 15 alive in Australia, because everything is out to kill you. I don't get it, right?
Yeah, well, I'm as afraid as anybody. And one time, just recently, I grabbed my runners from out the front, and I spray bug spray in them if they've been left outside, just as a precaution, yeah. And nothing happens. And then this time, I did it, and this gigantic redback crawled out. I just think if I had to put those on, I mean, I don't know if I would have died, but I would have been very unwell. It's not good.
When was this?
This was like 4 weeks ago.
Okay. So you would have missed all of those unofficial millionaire game show episodes.
That's right. I would have missed so much.
How many people would you have disappointed?
That's right. So, yes, don't leave your shoes outside in Australia. That's my tip for you.
Yeah. I got on with that. And always check the toilet seat before sitting down, right?
Yes, well, mostly at my house because of my sons, but that's for another reason. Yeah, you just want to, okay. You need to comb in with some bleach usually.
Right. Okay. Flamethrower.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Or just rip it out and put a new one in each time.
Yeah.
And now, what you said about marketers with tactics, that's such a big point because it's always this is the method, you know, that you need, and you know, this is the one that's going to work, and they've tried different things, and that is really spot on of the approach of a lot of people selling things, and you know, it appeals to people like, oh, this is what I should have been doing. But as you said, it's really pointless doing that unless you know the person's business. And you mentioned quantitative analysis. Do you want to run through what that is and how does that give some clarity to allow you to develop a strategy?
Like all of these things, there's no point waving a wet finger in the air and guessing, right? So you have quant and qual, okay? So qualitative analysis is, part of it is market orientation, making sure you've got a go-to-market strategy that your product or service actually addresses a particular known perceived problem that your target audience identifies with. The problem with a new product that solves a new problem is you have to spend ages educating your audience to know that they have the problem and that the problem is solved by your product. And what happens is somebody with deeper pockets and bigger budgets comes in and swoops in and takes over once you've laid all the groundwork, right? As they say, the early bird might catch the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese, right? Bringing us back to curds and whey. See, there's
incredible.
There's method to my madness here. How about that for continuity?
Great job.
So quant and qual. So we have quantitative analysis, which is based on defined things like NPS scores, how well your product or service is fitting in with.
What's an NPS score?
Net Promoter Score. When you go and you do these online feedback forms, and you have to pick a radio button. How well did we answer your question from 0 being you suck to 10 being you were awesome? And you have to go in between, and then they usually, well, why did you go for number 7? And you know, and you have to give reasons. That's a Net Promoter Score. And then the other side of things is obviously qualitative analysis, which is more subjective and goes into the direction of customer service and customer experience. How well or how seamless your buyers see that purchase process. You know, basically, if you're selling something online and your e-commerce site, and the instant they go to your e-commerce site, after 3.7 microseconds on landing on your site, they're bombarded by this huge big interstitial blocking the entire website saying, sign up for our newsletter now and get 27% off. And it's like, hang on, I don't even know what you sell. I don't even know if what you sell is right for me. And already, you want me to give you my email address? Are you on drugs? Right? Who's going to do that? It's like when you go into a brick and mortar store. Right? Remember those days? No, when you go into a brick and mortar store and you step across the threshold, you just wipe your feet on the doormat because you are polite and your parents brought you up correctly. And as you step off the mat, some spotty-haired oik pounces on you and says, how can I help you? And it's like you're automatically on the defensive and you're saying, look, I'm just browsing. While what you're really thinking is, I now have to spend the minimum amount of time that I don't want to piss these people off before doing a 180 and walking straight out the place, because you've got straight in my face when I've just stepped in the place. And this is the same thing that's happening with e-commerce, right? So if you're not optimizing for the buying experience, what you're doing is pushing people away to your competition. You know, don't forget, if your business has less than a 50% market share, which is pretty much every single goddamn business, more people are buying from the competition than are buying from you. And understanding that and recognizing that and acknowledging that is a very humbling position and probably a good base to start with when you're crafting customer experiences moving forward.
That's very interesting. And we don't often think about the what happens after a customer buys. And, you know, as they say, the money's in the repeat business. So, I don't think many people think about optimizing that post-purchase process, but using all of those surveys and questionnaires and things to get the data and kind of mold the journey that the customer goes through, that's going to give you so much good information and hopefully help you retain customers, which I guess is what you're getting at. So Clicksino is your business. And what type of businesses do you mostly work with, G?
Funded startups and small businesses. By funded startups, I mean real startups. By real startups, I mean if you're doing this as a side hustle and you're running your business in your back bedroom when you come back from work and you're drop shipping crap that you found in China, that's, for me, that's not a startup. That's a hobby, right? So if you're making money, take my hat off to you. Great stuff. But you are not our target audience. For me, a startup is funded. They have VC money. They have PE money. They have investors. They have bank loans, whatever it may be. But it's what you do all day, every day, right? As a small business, it's generally up to around 20, 25 mil US turnover, which is about, I don't know, 3 million Aussie dollars or something, isn't it? 3 gazillion Aussie dollars. I don't know what the exchange rate is at the moment, but it's probably not looking good. But that's usually our sweet spot. Generally speaking, we work with clients for around 5 to 7 years. And after that time, they've usually developed the infrastructure to be able to handle most of their stuff in-house, and we work from a more consultative aspect. Or if we've done a very good job, they've exited, they've been acquired, or the business owner has sold out, and they've left with smiling faces.
Awesome.
Those are typically, in terms of industry, we don't sort of have a specific industry. We've got, everything from manufacturing, engineering, healthcare, HR, fintech, agritech. There's all sorts of different industries that we work. IT services, all sorts. It's not really sort of broken down by that sort of vertical. But yeah, that's the sort of customers that we go after.
And is there anything sort of on the horizon coming up now, some changes perhaps that people need to be aware of, in terms of directions they need to take, or changes in the landscape that you're seeing that perhaps people don't know about, that you could talk about?
That people don't know about, probably not. That people do know about, there's a little thing called AI, which you may have just about heard of. There's been sort of like very, very sort of tiny small print in the bottom of occasional websites. the thing about AI is that, sure, it can save you money, but it's not an excuse for not thinking, Yes, you don't need to start with a blank page anymore. Great. There is kind of someone that you can engage in a get a conversation, but you need to take into consideration that the conversation is taking place based upon existing ideas, previous ideas, things that have already happened. So the chances that you will generate something fresh and original using AI prompts is extremely small, if not infinitesimally small, if not non-existent. So what will inevitably happen in the short term is it'll fuel more mediocre work. Because if you're using AI to create, you're just combining ideas of what's already out there, right? So until AI gets to the point of having an emotional intelligence, it's incapable of creating something on its own, right? It's a curator. So if as a business that you're already inundated with competition, your only real strategy is to stand out, to be different, to be seen as being differentiated, to be distinctive, to be non-gray in a sea of grays. And if that's the goal, it's very difficult to get to that point if you're relying solely upon output created by AI, which is based upon stuff which has already been created, right? If you're just copying somebody else's work and pushing it out there, what happens is your audience thinks of them and not of you, right? You look at any mobile phone ad. Every mobile phone ad looks like an Apple ad, whether it's for Apple or not. Why is that? Is that, you know, did Apple happen to find the perfect format for advertising cell phones? No, not at all. So why is everybody trying to ape them? Because all that happens is you see, you know, a picture of a phone whizzing round and on a white background. And what do you think of? You know, you don't think of Samsung or Google or whomever, you know, whatever a company, you think of Apple. So you dare to be different. You know, you need to travel the road less traveled and forge your own identity, your own position, and not be afraid to do that. Have your own language, your own brand assets, your own visual cues to generate the memory pathways so that when your potential buyers are in the place of considering to purchase and they're looking at that consideration set, you are one of those products that they are considering. And that's all marketing can do, can put you in that consideration set. That's it.
Yeah. There's no escaping the, you've got to create something and say something that is coming from you. And but then you can use AI to help you get that out there and do some of the, tasks around it. But you can't, as you say, create something from scratch. Like you say, it's curated content. So you'll just be like everyone else. But that being said, I mean, I'm a huge believer in AI. As long as you are creating something to start with and saying something with that. That's great, G. Some pretty awesome stuff there. And if you want to have a chat with G, who are they going to speak to? They're going to speak to you? Or have they got somebody that they'll have a call with if they contact you on the website?
You contact me on the website. There's a form there. There's an email address there that you can use that, and that goes to that. That's a group email, so you will have somebody get back to you within 24 business hours, no matter what. If you want to catch up with me, the best way of getting hold of me is on LinkedIn. That's where I spend most of my time when I'm not bidding my head against a wall, trying to help clients who believe the marketing bro BS.
Yeah,
that's where you'll find me.
It's good. It's good stuff. And you know, like I was talking to G about, and G said himself, it takes time. You know, we're talking years. It's a long process. There's no quick fixes that you can take. You've got to do it the right way. And it's good to see people actually, coming out with that approach, even though it takes a little bit more time to sell your services when you are sort of selling the right things, really, which is one of the strange paradoxes with marketing. Thanks, G, for coming on. If you want to get in touch with G, I'll put all his contacts in the show notes. Thank you very much, G. Renacina.
Thanks very much for inviting me on, Julian. It's been an absolute blast.
No worries, and well done on dominating the game as well, G.
That was a total fluke.
Wonderful. And thanks for listening and watching, everyone. I'm going to wrap things up. See you next time.